Swiss Cybersecurity Days Talk. Powered by Handelszeitung.
Welcome to today's episode, recorded live at the Swiss Cyber Security Days in Bern. I'm Tobias Bolzon, and joining me is Karin Frick, former head principal researcher at the Gottlieb Duttweiler Institute in Rüschlikon. Karin is one of Switzerland's leading futurists, specializing in trends in technology, society, and economy. She has spent decades analyzing how innovations shape our world and has authored numerous studies and topics such as AI, digital trust, and the future of work. Today we will explore the impact of artificial intelligence. What should we prepare for? Where should we set limits? And how can we balance innovation with responsibility? Karin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, hello.
When you look back on your childhood, were there any moments when you were interested in the future? What fascinated you back then?
I mean, I was as a child always interested in what will be when I'm an adult, when I grow up. So what will be, what will I become, how will the world look like? So, but of course, I didn't know the term futurist.
Let's just dive in and talk about the big topic, artificial intelligence, AI. Do you remember the moment when you first realized that AI would probably fundamentally change our lives, and what went through your mind at the time?
I mean, I really started to work on this topic more than 30 years ago when I started to work. And I started with AI, so just really in end of the 80s. And it was, I had an interview with Hans Morawetz, who is a leading robotic researcher at the Carnegie Mellon University. And he had this book, Mind Children, and it was really about singularity, the idea. And Hans was then about, he was in his 40s, and he then told me that when he will manage to live till he's 90 or so, he will live forever, because then he can upload his mind onto a computer. And it was really the first topic when I started my professional work. And since then, I'm always fascinated with future tech and the options. And yeah, you must, when you think back, I mean, in end 80s, We did not have Google, we did not have Wikipedia, we did not have iPhones, just I had a really simple Mac with diskettes.
I mean, I remember those days in the 90s as well. That's when I grew up with technology. But maybe on a broader spectrum, I've read that you've said that people normally are not afraid of technology itself, but rather its consequences.
Yeah, that's, I think this is an important point. We are not afraid. We are afraid who will use the technology maybe against us. I mean, it's quite easy to see what's in favor for you, what the benefits are. Actually, everybody used iPhones on things like that. Okay, it's easy. We use GPS navigation because you understand it. When the tablets came as well, the older people started to use it because you don't need to know how to program. Not press any keys, but just take your fingers and do it. So actually, I think if for most people, it's very independent from their education. It's very easy to understand the immediate benefits. And so they are not afraid of technology, but you are afraid of it. And you see all these health scenarios. If technology is used as a weapon to manage you, to control you, to control your life, to take all the benefits away and make you a slave. I mean, it takes your job. Maybe it controls you. It controls your mind, whatever you can imagine. And we are really afraid of the impact, of the negative impact of the technology, not really of the technology itself.
That brings me right to the next question. Do you think in general we should embrace AI, the possibilities, or should we be scared of it, or at least aware of the risks?
I think I mean, we should be aware of all the options we get. And usually it is true for all kind of technology. You can use every kind of technology. You can use it as a weapon or you can use it as a tool to somehow make things better, more efficient. And so actually you can use a car even to get faster, but you can use it as a weapon. Every kind of technology. And I think as we get a very powerful technology such as AI, we should be aware what we do with it. And that's true for all kind of technology. I mean, the higher the risk if you use it, the more you have to think about what will you do with it. And that's true for some technology, weapons, we need licenses. We need license to drive a car. For different kind, if you work in a factory with big machines, robots, you of course need a training, how to use it, and all of that kind of things. And so I think technology, AI, can be a powerful tool, but we must be aware that we can it as well use for bad and make accidents, maybe just by accident, not because we want to.
If you had to pinpoint on a timescale, when do you think AI will cause the most significant societal shift?
I think it already did. We are already here because, this is this famous quote of, the future is already here, but unevenly distributed. And to some degree, actually, if you look who designs real direction, where we go, what we do now, what we discuss, I mean, it's driven by this future AI. And so this is the first decision. I mean, who invests and somebody, I mean, usually if you have enough people who see possible profits that they can make out of it, so actually they invest. And then you have to have everything and then you can make money. And I mean, we are a market society and there we need the opportunities to make money for every kind. The people will follow and do their part, maybe not aware of all over. And that's true as we had before for the whole idea of sustainability. I mean, you exploit the resources you get, and you do some good, you profit because you can feed more people and so, and you see the negative spillovers maybe only years later. And I think this is true as well for AI, and we are already there. We will not go back. I mean, you cannot really turn off ChatGPT and its other agents that are here to come.
You just said agents. 2025 will be the year, presumably, of AI agents. As AI shifts from, say, task execution to more oversight, how do you think the role of us humans might evolve?
I mean, in different direction. I mean, I still think we humans are as well able to learn. We learn. Not everybody in the same speed, but we can learn. We can use it. We can use tools. I mean, we could use all the other tools we invented before. So we will be kind of a boss because we all will get kind of slave or servants or assistants. And then you have to think if you don't do the job yourself, you have to think about how. If you give somebody the job, you have to think more from above, more on the meta level, because then you are in control of the system. I suppose, maybe not, but maybe there are two ways. You can say, okay, it's mega convenient, let the agent do, I don't want to think, I just want to relax, and the agent is smart and it knows what I need, it knows my budget and it will spend it maybe more rational than I do, and actually I outsource my life to the agent would be one option. The other option, as always, when some people are lazy, they just sit down and use all the entertainment the internet you can get and think they have a good time doing sweet nothing, dolce far niente, kind of. And the other way is, oh, I got such powerful tools. Where can I get with that? What can I make better? What can I make different? How could I get ahead? What could I learn if I really have this power to go to the next kind of, if you take the terms of the gaming, let me go to the next level. And some people, and I think these are many, they aspire to the next level. I say, okay, I have this powerful tool. I mean, we are here with these tools. What can I do with it?
Maybe on a more personal level, I see people rely more and more on generative AI tools in my circle. Mm-hmm. How do you foresee those tools affecting our critical thinking skills over time?
There is one concept I think it's interesting or inspiring. I mean, everybody knows now the system 1-2 thinking of Kahneman, which means system 1 is when you are just emotional and intuitive, and system 2 is the one when you have to work. It takes some power and effort to really for rational thinking. And now there is a concept, maybe there will be as well, we'll get in the world with a system 0. System 0 means actually you outsource. I don't want to bother. I don't want the trouble. I don't have now the energy to really bring my mind to this problem, to solve this problem. Just I will outsource it, and it's very convenient. And convenience is always, as I once said, convenience always wins. Of course, if you don't have to move yourself, and you can if you don't have to make a fire and just have a switch, you will use the switch for heating or cooling the room and so on. And if you have a washing machine, of course, you don't wash by hand because it has not really a sex appeal, washing by hand. Maybe a candlelight dinner might be interesting from time to time, but otherwise not. So actually, maybe we will switch often to this system 0, which is we don't think at all and we let the system think for us. This could be a different society where we have maybe then we serve only on the emotions, because it's okay. We will become much more emotional because all the rational thinking has been outsourced. And then we think, okay, I can, maybe it's like a child, because they hope maybe the mom or dad, they call me, stop, if it gets dangerous or so. But this is just one scenario. I still think, on the other hand, I mean, today we don't need our body to work, most of us not. Actually, we just could sit here and do our work, our jobs. And still now we go we do our sports units, we go running, we go to the gym, we do all these kind of sports. Actually, but we do it active because we know if I don't use my body, I will lose my muscles and I will get sick to some degree. And maybe this same thing is going to happen, that we get more and more aware, or at least some first people that you get aware of when you don't use your mind. You will lose it, as with muscles. And then I think it will be even, I mean, intelligence is cool and natural intelligence is even cooler. So actually, if you lose it, it's like a body which is not fit.
Your research also shows that technological progress unfolds differently or more slowly than initially expected. What are some current AI hypes that might not materialize as expected?
I think it will take much, much longer because they are, if you, as soon as you get to more critical problems, let's say really health decisions, the AI is not there yet. You already see when you ask today ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever, you can do it for some research and you see the mistakes. If you are the discipline you are asking, you realize all the mistakes it's making and think, okay, if it would be a decision about my health, I really would prefer somebody who makes a decision who is more sure about what he or she says or decides. And so, I mean, as I said, we talk these ideas and we really find back in this text with Hans Morawetz for more than 30 years ago, all these ideas were there. And even the technology was far away, but we are still not yet there. And I mean, you can see, you can be amazed what's possible today, but it's still, I mean, really difficult tasks. It takes time, it takes energy, we don't know if we have enough data, and so on. I mean, we are amazed, but it will take longer. And then you have all these problems. The question with reliability, I mean, when it makes a risk, who
is responsible?
Who is responsible, yeah.
Let's close the circle. If you think about year 2035 and imagine how you will explain the world to a young person, what will you tell them about the development of AI?
I mean, they know more than me. Actually, today, so my grandchild was just born. I mean, she grows up in a world with just AI. She does not know a world without, I mean, Google for her, that's really like for me, a kind of very old phone or whatever you can imagine. I mean, she will not know a world without machines that answer her or maybe, more or less know what she thinks, what she wants. I mean, you don't have to explain them because that's kind of, they understand the world they are in. And I think the youngsters then, they are even more critical as we see it. Kind of the next generation AI, maybe we need to call them.
Thank you, Karin Frick, for your insights.
Thank you.
And thank you to your audience for tuning in to this episode from the Swiss Cybersecurity Days in Bern. If you enjoyed the discussion, don't forget to subscribe. And until next time.